All right, Justin.
All right, what is this called?
Recap? Message recap podcast.
Does it matter? Does it matter?
We do. That would be awesome. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Transformation Church Message Recap Podcast.
Did it.
Yay.
I'm one of your hosts, Justin Oswald. Back again.
Back again.
With the lead pastor, Brad Livingston, and pastor extraordinaire, Ricardo.
Ricardo.
Yay.
Yay.
Senor.
Yeah. Senor. Yes.
Senora.
Whoa, that's a woman.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that means something different. Holy. Yeah. So.
Never mind. I was going to say, I'll say it.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think in our current climate, with all this gender fluidity and pronoun stuff, that they're going to have to redo the Spanish language?
It's a great question.
Because, that is a good question.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's masculine or feminine, and right. Even in like items. Hey.
Maybe. That's a good question.
You know what I'm saying?
Masculine or feminine.
Yeah.
Those are like, trigger words.
Yeah.
I mean, not for me, but for someone else.
No one bothered to ask the
Spaniards. You
know, or I'm just saying, like, is it L or La? No one bothered to ask that.
But if it's Ella, if it's they, it's Ella.
Oh. If it's they.
I think so.
Oh, boy. How do you, what do you do with that?
Wow. All the transgender's minds are blown right now. Yeah. No offense, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Sorry. I will move on. I just couldn't. anyways,
Justin was in Nashville last week.
Or,
No, surely not. That's fair game.
Surely not.
Yeah, Justin was in Nashville last week, so he wasn't on the podcast.
I was not at a little vacation. It was really good.
Yep.
I ate some really good crap food, like
crap food.
I call it bar food.
It's like some of my favorite food.
Yeah, you know, like wings.
Yes.
You know, mozzarella sticks, French fries, burgers, stuff like that.
Come on.
I had like this platter. I was at this place watching these, like just watching bands, you know, and they had this like a appetizer sampler. Yeah. Oof, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, come on. It was wings that were fantastic, come by on. The way.
Yep.
You I'm know, I love it. Wings. Southwestern egg rolls that were like, you remember the ones from Chili's?
Yep.
Not like that though. They were more like the wrapping was more of a
fried spring roll.
Yes.
Okay.
But like, but with the innards, the stuff, the same filling, the filling.
Okay. Yeah. Same filling, different exterior texture. Yeah,
same innards, different outer. Yeah, but really, really good. And then like chips and queso, it would come on all on this big sampler platter. Phenomenal.
Dude, we just ate like 2 hours ago, and I'm hungry. Yeah. What are you talking about?
And then you told me last year, but they have it. I think you did. The Prince, was it? No, the burger place. It was something with a P.
The pharmacy.
Pharmacy burger.
Yeah.
They have one in the food hall that I was going to, and nice. I ate one of those. That's a pretty good burger.
Yeah. Did you go to Mas Tacos? That's really my favorite.
No, that's out a little bit.
Okay. Well, you know, me and Mexican food. Yeah. Anyways.
I was not going to drive it or have to. I was
and
just,
it's kind of a shady neighborhood anyways.
Yeah, no, like, I was just anywhere I could walk to.
Yeah. I don't think you would have survived going to Mas Tacos anyways.
Okay, so that's fine.
It's kind of the hood.
And then the hood. Right across the street from the hotel was this place called, I don't know what it's called, Mitch Barbecue or something. Anyways, it was like they said them and there's another place in town or like the gold standard of barbecue in Nashville. And they said sometimes the line is like down the block out the building. People wait 2 hours in line. It was good barbecue. It was the brisket was – it was good barbecue.
I can tell you where that's not happening.
Where?
Dickie's on Mobile Highway.
No one's in there. No one goes
It's terrible.
There. I don't think the food's terrible. I don't think it's the best barbecue ever.
No. It's just, as the experience as a whole is terrible. You don't get nearly enough food for the price. The food's decent.
It's decent.
But it's...
Every time I got a baked potato, it was like this... It was scorched. It was.
Well, I feel like the customers are like in the way for the... Like, oh, yeah, when you're being served, like they're like, oh, God, you're here.
On,
what do you want?
They're on TikTok, and when you walk in, they're like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the customers are an inconvenience to what they got going on, which I don't know what they, you know, what, but.
But I was telling someone, when me and you went to Austin, we went to that barbecue place that they said it was like
I was literally thinking about it yesterday.
The best in town.
Yeah.
Our best ever, you know, this place, Terry Black's
in
Austin. And how expensive it was.
It was unbelievable. It was $100 for us, right?
Dude, we literally order, you order like by the, it was four slices of brisket. It was four ribs. What? Two sausage links.
Two sausage links.
And then like four sides.
$100.
$110 with the drinks and tax money.
Unbelievable.
No.
That's crazy. That's I was telling my mom as it was. I was like, was the barbecue good? Yes.
Of course.
But their pricing ruined it.
Yeah.
Like I would not want to go back there. I'd rather go to Sonny's.
Or Smokey's.
Right. Because at least at Sonny's, one, is it a chain? Yes. But is it at least consistent in the flavor? And it's not bad. Well, but
and here's the problem. This is what I think about. I think about this in food in general. And this is what I've just surrendered to as the truth. Southern food is better than everyone else's food. Period. Now, everybody else can have something that outshines something in the South. So you go to Maine, you can get a lobster roll, you can't get down here. All right, that's true. All right, I'm with it. All right. Yeah. You go to Vegas, you can get some weird things that you can't get here with like just that, you know, they have extravagant stuff. So it's not to say you can't go other places and get one thing off their menu that they're known for that's not better. But universally, the South has the best food, period.
By far.
So when we travel, we go to somewhere, they're like, it's the best barbecue. We're like, I mean, it was a good barbecue, but we have good, like, we can literally say we have good fill in the blank back home, and it's at least on par with everybody else. Like, we've got good tacos that can go toe to toe with most tacos in the country. We've got good barbecue that can go toe to toe with most places in the country. Now, I know some people out there, Kansas City, this, Memphis, whatever, fair enough. But by and large,
well, Memphis is still the South.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Our seafood. Every time we travel somewhere, when me and him travel somewhere, and they're like, "You got to try the seafood." We're both like, "I doubt it's going to be better than our seafood."
There's not water anywhere around here.
Yeah, when we were in Phoenix, they're like, "You got to try the seafood." I'm like, "Where'd y'all get seafood from?"
I'm like, "Bro, I can see water from my spare bedroom in my townhouse. If it's winter and the leaves are dead, and I get just the right angle, I can see the bay from my window.
Yeah, you can see salt water.
So I don't know what y'all talking about in Phoenix.
Yeah. So all that to say, I mean, you know, Patrick Water says it a lot. You know, it's like, dude, our gas stations have better food than some restaurants up north. Like,
That ain't no joke.
You know what I'm saying? Like, go to a Dodge's chicken and tell me.
I love Dodge's chicken. I've been eating Dodge's chicken for years.
Yeah.
I used to live behind there. Well, that side road curves around my old apartments when I was
young. Dodge's chicken, Circle K breakfast.
Listen, those tornadoes from the Circle K, those little taquito, I think they call them tornadoes. Yeah. You get two for four.
Yep. It's problematic, bro.
Get that jalapeno cheese one day.
Yeah, bro. One of the guys from Dude Perfect.
It's fantastic.
There's a dude that's on one of those like channels where the guys do sports stuff. Not Dude Perfect, but kind of something like that. And the guys golf a lot. He was on his own personal TikTok the other day. And he was like, I have a problem.
And he was like, you're talking about, that's Bob.
Yeah, you're talking about the taquitos?
He was talking about from 7-Eleven, which we don't have those around here.
Yeah. But he was talking about taquitos. He was like, this is a problem. Yeah. So, but for in the South, dude, like, I mean, Circle K breakfast, the chicken, egg and cheese, chicken, bacon, egg and cheese biscuit with gravy on top. Come on, bro.
Listen, there's the Circle K on Cervantes. They fry chicken in there. It's like a Dodge's, you know, but it's a circle. Like, they have fried chicken and stuff.
South wins.
Hands down.
I would agree with that, but man, you go into a larger city. But that's the thing about large cities, though, is it's a, what's the word? They cultivate, not cultivate. They, what's the word?
Not assimilate.
What's the word where you,
congregate.
No.
Collate.
No. They, curate.
Curate.
They curate. From all these different areas, you know, like, I mean, like when I went to Chicago, like Chicago is not the South, that's the Midwest, but
absolutely,
let me tell you, there's some fine food in Chicago.
Yeah.
I had some amazing Italian food.
Listen,
I mean, amazing.
Italian food is the one thing in Pensacola that we've got some good stuff. Don't get me wrong, but you go up north, you go northeast and it's a different game.
Right.
But you know, the mob and all that stuff. It's just kind of that's part. So yeah. But all that to say is, yeah, South has some good food. So it's hard to go somewhere else and not like be like, yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, we have some. You know what we have? We have you know, the craft bar in Destin. One opened up here.
Where?
Next to Tijuana Flats by the mall.
Oh.
Well, that wine bar is?
Right next door, yep.
Really?
Yep. I was passing it, and I was like, that's the place. Their food's so good.
Listen to this. Ooh. Next to Jackson's in downtown.
Tell me more.
I forget the name of it. It's like two names. It's like Hey
Dude
something.
Okay,
no. It's a private... private, you have to be a member to get in, but there's a restaurant. Ooh. Aaron Watson invited me, or he was like inviting people. So I was like, is this an invitation with you to go? Like, how do I get in there if it's member only? Yeah. But they said the food is they said the food is
fantastic. I bet it is.
Hold on now. You wouldn't want to eat there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I didn't get an invite. You did. So I'm making fun
of you. Well, yesterday with a lot of highfalutin folk. I know.
Good for you.
Earned
it.
I didn't. Yeah. I'm just.
If you get in, just you know.
Yeah.
Howard us. Howard us. Now. Yeah.
You're 91 of top leaders within Pensacola.
All of us mere peasants down here. Make sure you extend an invite. Tell you what, you give a man a platform to shine, and
hey,
he forgets all of us common folk.
No. I forgot nobody. Listen, I'm humbled by it. Believe me, there's big names. That's a big deal. So I am humbled by it. I am. I don't deserve to be on there.
I'm just kidding, Justin.
No,
Justin's done a great job.
No, it was cool. Well, it was cool about the guy Rick that runs the magazine that puts it out was given the history, which I think in the article it's in the N Weekly, the Pensacola Powerless, the last N Weekly edition. Anyways, the history. It started as a conversation. They were at the Atlas Oyster House 17 years ago. A couple guys, and the question was, they're like, who do you think's the most powerful person in Pensacola? And they had a cocktail napkin, and they were like making names
it down.
And at the time, he was like, it was very easy to put Fred Levin at the top of that list back then. But then the next day, the cover story for the magazine fell apart. So they were scrambling, like, what do we put as our cover story? And he had the napkin from the night before.
Oh, that's so cool.
He was like, maybe we could do something with this. So it started out with like just five people. Or something like that. It was not 100. It's grown to 100 over the last 17 years. But it started with a small group. And he said when they published it, he's like, the next day once the magazine come out, he said the phones were ringing off the hook. People were calling like, why ain't I on the list? Why am I only number three, not number two?
Oh, wow.
And he was like, we knew we had something.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
And then from there, it's grown. And he was like, we're proud of it. It's not always he's like, some people fall off or that moves around. And there's like he doesn't tell us how they select it. There's no nominations or anything. They usually don't pick elected officials because a lot of times his response is like their power and influence is attached to their office.
True.
So they usually don't have a lot of that. He says so. And then once you're number one, you roll off and you go in like the Hall of Fame. Like, for example, Quentin Studer is not on the 100 list, even though he's still one of the most influential people in Pensacola.
Right.
You know, probably more so than most on the list, right?
Right, right.
But he's in the Hall of Fame, just like Fred Levin, you know, there's
probably Sandy Sansing.
Sandy Sansing's on the list still.
But, oh, really?
Yeah.
God, I would think he would already hit number one and moved out.
What number is he? I don't know, but he's in there. He was in the top 50. But
interesting.
The number one this year was the president. Dr. Saunders, the president of UWF.
Oh, wow.
So she kind of spoke at the thing last night.
That's cool.
It was cool. It's cool. So I mean, you know, a lot of the people on there every year. You know, like Chip Simmons, the sheriff, by nature of kind of what he does, you're gonna end up on there. But it is big name, so it is an honor. Like it is humbling. I did not expect to be on it again. I was on it last year because of PYP, but I not expect to be on it again, and right. I was, and I moved up, which I was not expecting.
Hey,
so not 100 anymore.
So what are we going to do when you get to like within the top 50? We're going to do something special.
I'm trying to get number one.
Go to dinner somewhere.
I'm going to try to stick on. I got to, you know.
Listen, I'm going to drop some serious money and take you to Terry Black's. That's what I'm going to do.
But I do think, you know, and I was telling you earlier in the office, we were at this reception, and one of the guys on the list is named Aaron Watson. He's a local attorney. His dad was the founding pastor of Inglewood Baptist Church, and Aaron was there. and he's a year older than me, but in our age group, grew up in church. But we got to talking about marketplace ministry,
right?
And he was talking about how his brother became a pastor and now is a pastor of the church. But he was talking about how he's glad he didn't, and he became an attorney. But now he can still do ministry,
right,
in a different way, though. So we got to talk about how important marketplace ministry could be, and that's what I've enjoyed the last couple of years in my time with the Pensacola Young Professionals and, you know, the chamber and that type of thing. So I think it's been good. Yeah. You know, we got good people in our church too. Like I think of like Mike Bodie, you know, and his wife Nicole, who are very active in the community and all that. But like, they understand those type of things, right. You know what I mean? So they usually watch podcasts, so shout out Mike and Nicole Bodie.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need more of that is what I'm getting at. We need more Christians.
Who see value in marketplace
ministry. In marketplace
ministry,
yeah.
Because, you know, growing up within ministry as far as from 20 years old and on to where I'm at now, which is
older than 20.
Oldest guy on staff. So I have talked to so many kids, young leaders coming up, young believers coming up, and they almost discredit marketplace ministry. And they're like, you know what? If I'm not in full-time ministry serving at a church, I'm not fulfilling God's plan for my life. I'm like, come on. Like, no, that's not it at all. You know? And yeah, so I think so many people and young leaders undervalue this idea of marketplace ministry. It is a real thing.
And they equate ministry to pastor,
right,
or pastoring. And those aren't necessarily the same thing. Like, if you're called to be a full-time pastor then yeah, you're probably called to full-time ministry like that. But at the end of the day, that's probably not most people called to ministry to even be, like, a lead pastor. I mean, we've talked about that before, you know, which – it was a long conversation, or could be, but yeah, I agree. It's just, and it's not out there. I mean, in the way I do it when I'm out in representing those other organizations, but people know exactly what I do or where I work or whatever, or at least when you meet them, they find out. But you're not out there to, like, necessarily evangelize in the moment. Mm-hmm. I told Brad, there's a good example. I told you on Sunday, I had a guy that was going to come visit our church. I thought he might be here this past Sunday. He's Hindu. And he's been coming to some PYP events, and we got to talking about like Christianity. In fact, last Thursday was one of PYP. We have a happy hour every month. It's our big event, and we were at O'Reilly's downtown, you know. And there's people drinking, and there's a bar in there, you know. Right. Yep. But me and him. So there's a girl been coming to our church. She was in Next Steps. The girl Ashlyn, who I met last month at happy hour at another place. Invited her to church.
She's been coming.
She's been coming. Just went through Next Steps.
Let's
she's
go.
Step two.
Yeah.
Bringing a friend with her.
Yep.
So she's at this table with a coworker of hers, and then the guy that's Hindu and me, and we sat in there for probably 45 minutes, just us. We were talking because her coworker is agnostic at best.
Right.
She is not a believer, and I even asked her, do you consider yourself an atheist? She said, no, I'm indifferent. I don't know if God exists, and I really don't care. Like, I just, and I was like, interesting, and I'll come back to that because we had a good conversation as well. But the Hindu guy was like, he's so interested in Christianity, and he's of the belief where he's read about where some people believe, you know, we hear about Jesus till he's 12 and then nothing till he's like 30 back on the scene. You know, did Jesus have influence over did he travel toward India and have influence over that? So, because he's like, a lot of what we believe as Hindu is ultimately what he said, I believe true Christians believe, which is like, you know, do well to others and, you know, like the golden rule type stuff. And, so he's never really been. So the girl Ashlyn was like, you ought to come. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, no. I was like, you're not going to experience anything weird if you come visit. Like, you're not going to show up and we do anything crazy.
No weird stuff.
I said, at
no
best.
No snakes.
I said, I'm not asking you to come and to be converted. I said, if anything, you'll hear good music and you'll hear a good speech. You know what I mean? It's like, at the end of the day, you know, I said, at best, you're going to learn something.
Hopefully.
You're going to learn something that you may not know. But we did talk for a while, and it was really cool. And he was like, showed interest. He's like, you could tell he was just curious to experience a service. Because she was also telling him, like, it's not like if you think of some old school church with the hymn, like, it's not like that. She was talking about the band and, you know, how our service looks like. But anyways, to me, that's more marketplace ministry. It's like, or like me and Aaron Watson were talking about, it's like you use our faith drives our is where our values come from,
right.
And our values drive our decision making. And you know, so if you're an elected official or whatever, the things you do are driven by your values,
right?
What you get from your faith. So like, we need more Christians in those environments and all that. So it's not necessary to evangelize in the moment, but you do make relationships, and then when people need something or they're curious, then that's like, hey, let me find out what Justin was talking about or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's important. I think we need more of that. So I've been excited to do it. You know, I was not on the list because of my role at Transformation Church. It was, you know, my involvement with PYP. But there is only one other pastor on the power list, and that is, what's his name, from Little Rock. I think it was just Little Rock, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Then, Pastor Lonnie.
Lonnie Wesley.
Yeah. He's heavily in the community. He serves in a lot of places. He's incredible guy. So, it was cool. So, it's an honor. I think it's an honor.
We're proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're proud of you.
Yeah. Every time you walk in the next steps, I always like to brag on
but
you.
I'm not,
here's the
I'm
president.
Not the yeah, anymore, we can't yeah. call you El Presidente no more.
No.
So, only you called him El Presidente.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a we, yeah. I think you're the only one. Yeah. There was three pastors. Was there? Who was the other ones? Lonnie Wesley from Greater Little Rock? Dr. Tyler Hartman, Antioch Missionary Baptist. Oh, okay. Antioch Missionary Baptist. Man, how did I miss that?
I don't know.
Well, thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle's got, he's the fact checker back there. Yeah.
Maybe maybe we can put a link to the article just since we're talking about it, if people want to look at it. In the stuff. But anyways, we can move on from that. But it was just a cool conversation about marketplace ministry.
That's super cool.
I think it's important.
You brought up the agnostic thing.
The girl was agnostic, but I was like, can I ask questions? And she was like, sure, yeah. But we were talking, and I acknowledged something where it's like, I talked about how Christians don't suffer well. And I think how it makes us look bad, you know, like we're supposed to have all this faith and all this, but then the minute something doesn't go our way, it's like and I kind of was leaning into some theological things that I believe, you know, where it's, not to get into all that necessarily, but it was an interesting conversation because I was just talking about how, you know, I was like, you probably think that most Christians believe this, but like, I don't even think that that's what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Even like stuff like with the rapture,
stuff
like that. I think she found, it appears she found the conversation interesting.
Hmm.
Like, oh, well, maybe there's something to it, you know? I was kind of pushing towards her, like, you're not an atheist, you're agnostic. And she didn't even use that word. She's just like, I'm just really indifferent. She's like, honestly, I don't even. It's not something I think about, you know, but I was going to kind of go into the, you know, if it were true, would you pick it if you could prove it and all these things, you know, and kind of lead down
some apologetics work over there.
It's like anybody who if it were true, you know, would you pick it? It's like the guy I heard that did the best was like speaking out of college.
Oh, the curly haired dude.
I don't know if it's curly hair.
Skinny, white, tall.
Old guy, older guy.
Yeah, that's him.
You know, it's like, how much knowledge do humans know? What percentage of knowledge? Right. And they're like, I don't know. Like, for numbers say, let's call it 10%.
Yeah.
So is it possible in the 90% of knowledge that humans don't have, does God exist? Yes, that's possible.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then you walk down the list, it's like, well, you've acknowledged that it's possible. So you can't be atheist because atheists say, I know God doesn't exist. And you've acknowledged that you don't. So you're not atheist. And you're not agnostic because agnostics say, even if he does this, they don't care. But you said that if it were true, I would choose that. So you obviously do care. So it's like you're not agnostic. Like at best, you're seeking.
Right.
Right.
You know, you're questioning.
And, right.
So I think that's kind of cool. But
nice.
Anyways. Yeah.
Well, that's what Justin's been up to, you guys.
Yeah. Went to Nashville and did that.
It's been busy.
Came home and did that, yeah.
Been busy.
Well, I did come to work on Friday. No one else was here. Y'all were all gone, but I got back in town Thursday night, and then I had some stuff to do Friday for like financial stuff, our bills and all that kind of stuff. But
let's go.
We want to keep the bills paid around here.
Yeah, we do. Know,
so
we had a good weekend.
Yeah,
good weekend.
It was so pretty this weekend here.
It was gorgeous.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday, amazing.
Great.
Amazing. And then we had a good week Sunday.
Yep.
I thought whose idea was it? Because I loved it. Was adding in the hymnal at the very end of that song.
So that's a conversation that is constantly going with the worship team.
We haven't done it in a while.
We haven't, and that was so kind of give people a background on how music goes at Transformation Church. So I don't pick any of the music.
Right.
What I do is I give clarity on the vision as far as like where I think our attention should be. Vince and he has a team of leaders. They kind of pick new songs. Then they send the list to me and I refine them. So I'm like, hey, I think this would be better. I feel like God, you know, putting this on my heart, or, you know, we're doing this in the message. Let's, you know, do this. So I kind of help refine the list and stuff like that. But I mean, ever since, even when Adam, Garrido, and Anna were worship leaders, one of the things I would always tell them, I said, if you have an opportunity to introduce a hymn into praise and worship, do it. Like, never miss an opportunity for that. Right. Because, you know, because we are very progressive, we're very modern. But we also know that there's a large demographic of our church that did grow up in church. And it's like, man, you drop those in every once in a while, and it just really goes a long way. It resonates with the audience. And at the end of the day, worship for us isn't a show.
Right.
It's bright, and it's loud, and there's smoke, and there's whatever. But at the end of the day, it's not a show. The main purpose is to get every person in the room to worship God with their whole heart. And for some people, we're well aware that the Robbie McClaney's and the Van Polk's of the world have laid down their preference to take up the purpose of the church. My preference would be that we did hymns every Sunday, but I take up the purpose of Transformation Church because I believe in what we're doing as a church, so I'll lay down my preference. So whenever we can connect that dot and let those people worship God from that place, it's really, really special. Yeah.
Because
Vince and the team did a great job.
Yeah, but not even for that older crowd. I mean, I know at one point, it's been a long time, but we go into, and like, I think the last time I remember Jonathan did it, like, into How Great Thou Art.
Yeah.
How Great Thou Art slaps.
Every time.
No matter what year it is. Yeah. No matter none of that. Like, that song is good.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's not that you have to abandon one crowd to engage the other, but it, you know what I mean? But we just, it's one of those things where it's like, man, let's, and especially like, I've been on this kick lately, whether it's communion, whether it's worship, of like reconnecting with the history, you know, of Christianity over the last, you know, 2000 years. So, that's the basis of it. So yeah, really leveraging it. Matter of fact, I have notes on my phone to talk with him about ways to do even more of it. So,
cause I mean, the moment that hymn kicked off, I didn't realize how many people in the church even knew the song. Because the engagement in worship, I mean, just went up immediately. Yeah. People started clapping and hands automatically went up. And I'm like, these many people know this song?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, you know, what you're saying, because I feel like our generation and then Gen Z for sure are the two generations, and then everyone after that. So starting maybe 40 years old and lower, I feel like
I'm not even in that group.
I feel like that demographic, we're the first ones that the majority of them did not grow up in church.
Right.
Right. So every generation before us, the majority of them grew up in church, grew up with grandmas that went to church, stuff like that. Now, even still, there's a large portion of millennials and even some Gen Zers that did grow up in church, did grow up with grandmas that went to church, so on and so forth. The reason I say all that is I think that there's a lot of people in the church that may walk through our doors and they walk through so inconsistently that they don't know our music, or they don't listen to this music throughout the week, so they still don't really know our music or whatever. But when a song like that comes up, it takes them back to their grandma's living room. Right. So it's like they don't know any of our worship music, but it takes them back to their grandma's living room of hearing their grandma sing while she's making biscuits or whatever. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like cleaning the house or the radio that was playing with CDs or tapes. Like, I think
A-tracks.
Even, yeah, wow. Right. I think even if you don't know, if you weren't maybe like, or if you, you know, you haven't been a Christian for the last 20 years, but you have Christian roots somewhere, a song like that transports you back to those roots. So like, I think it does, I think there are people, there's probably, what I'm getting at is there's probably 28-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 35-year-olds that don't know a single song, a single word of our current worship music, but they knew that song.
Right.
Because their grandma sang it or their mom sang it or they remembered it from the church they went to when they were 10. And so I think that's part of the reason why you experience something like that, even amongst 20-somethings or 30-somethings. So, yeah.
And it's funny you said that because when the song sang, I did remember being by my mom, who was like the closest person in my life before she passed, was being with her in the church. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, and hearing her sing off key. Still, it was, it did bring that mental image back, and it just made, you know,
it does
tear up again while I was in service. So
yeah no, it does do that. So yeah, those are cool moments. So we talk about it. We haven't done them enough in a while, and so that's when he, so all that to say is when Vince sent me that song to approve, like, can this even make it on the set list, like, because it's a new song, relatively new song. When he first sent that song to me, my first response to him was, you need to weave I Need Thee into this, because that'll be a great, we call them a reprise. When we tag a song, when we tag a song with another song at the very end, we call it a reprise. And I said, that'll be a great reprise to this, and it'll really connect with a portion of our audience that we haven't connected to like that in a little while. So,
What was that face for?
I just remembered I had a dream last night that I was going to tell y'all about on here, but I was waiting. I thought about it while you were talking about it.
Yeah. No, I saw the epiphany moment.
But I was going to wait until all this.
Oh, cool,
spiritual
talk. Spiritual talk. Yeah.
Yeah. We all done?
Yeah.
I don't want to cut in if we're still talking
about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, are we done? We were talking about Sunday.
It was really good.
Yeah,
it was great. Awesome.
It was a great day.
Well, and even the moments that we had in prayer, I mean, I felt like more people came up during this weekend of prayer 100%. than any other time throughout the 100%. Time we've done this. And so people just
I didn't see
freedom.
The back, but I would agree on at least on the front
the
side.
Back was full. I mean, people were just coming left and right and get a chance to pray for people. And so it was just killer.
I think it goes to show, it's like sometimes culture just takes time. The first time we did it, you could feel everybody was like, what are we doing? Why? Because that's not something we've historically done, right? So it's like, I think as we've like done that in communion and like we've kind of broken the mold, you know, if it ain't broke, fix it anyway type of thing. Like now that we've broken the mold, and I think people have gotten like, oh, okay, like let me participate, you know, and I think there was just like, you know, maybe supernatural timing or something too this past Sunday. I was telling Justin earlier that this past weekend was just weird. Like I was talking to car salesmen and people that work on the beach, and they were like, everywhere was a ghost town. Like
No,
it's like people weren't selling cars this past weekend. We're like, maybe they're at the beach, but I was talking to people that worked at the beach, and they're like, our restaurants were empty. Like it was like a third of the city just stayed inside their house and didn't go anywhere or traveled and left the city or something. It was so weird. So,
glitch in the matrix.
Glitch in the matrix, something. So,
the eclipse.
That's
did y'all see it?
It was too cloudy.
It was cloudy in Nashville,
But all that to say is so it was, you know, who knows? Maybe that has some, maybe there was like a, you know, people just in a weird place Sunday, but prayer was great. It was phenomenal.
I feel like our church is finding more freedom to even come up to the altar and worship, you know, and pray and stuff like that.
As far as I thought
that was pretty neat, especially during the prayer time, you know, just.
Definitely.
Oh, come to the altar.
Yeah. Oh, come to the altar. So.
His arms are open wide.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. Tell us about this dream, and then we'll talk about the sermon briefly before we get out of here.
Listen, I had this dream last night. You know how dreams can be so real and parts of it are real, but then it's like, what is going on? So we're at Transformation Church, but it wasn't in like this room. It was like an outdoor venue. Remember at the beach, the shell?
Yes.
Okay, imagine kind of like that, but almost bigger. But it's almost like the stage was kind of like down and the seats were more like
stadium
and a kind of around, and kind of, but it was and it was outside,
yeah,
really strange. And you know how I know how the dreams start because little things play in your mind. But a few weeks ago, we had someone that came to church and brought a dog. Right? Remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember.
And it was like in their book bag or something.
Yeah.
So
it was. Just, yeah.
So why are y'all laughing already? So that's what was in my head. I guess it started the dream.
I'm laughing at.
So in my dream, it's like Easter. There's like a lot of people. And like me and you are, it wasn't you, but it was you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's like you could tell they were leaders, but it wasn't like Rick.
Yeah.
But we're like standing at the front, like in the what would be the lobby. And people are coming into church. And they like, everyone's got like a dog on a leash. Like, they got their Great Dane coming in and all this. And I'm like, what is going on with all the dogs? Because like they're not supposed to be here. And we had already been told. No dogs. So I'm like, where are the ushers? You got to tell the people dogs they got to get out. And I'm like getting mad because I'm like, it's not everybody, but it was like
a lot of people.
Were, and I'm like, since when did this become a thing that you just take your dog to church with you now? And it was like, I was, and then, so then whoever was in charge, because I was still me, but nobody else was y'all. But whoever was in charge was like, you got to go on the stage and tell all the people with dogs to get out.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got booed because everyone's like, you don't like dogs. And I'm like, it's at church. And I'm trying to like, it's church. People leave your dog home. It's the beach camp. I guess. It was so weird. I woke up and I was like, what was that?
TC close by the sea.
Because I was the bad guy. Everyone made me the bad guy because I was the one that had to get on the microphone and be like, if you have a dog, please exit the building and take your dog home.
Get your dog out of it. It reminds me of have you seen John Chris' latest stand up? He was talking about that. He was like, I went to church for my mom the other day and I walked in and I immediately looked at her and was like, because a girl was there with her emotional support dog. He said, Mom, you know, I'm not mature enough to be with this. And she was singing in worship. She was like, all I need is you. He's like, apparently not.
well,
not that we're laughing at emotional support dogs. We're just laughing.
It's a joke. I will laugh at that. Yeah. I think it's real. Rufus,
you wouldn't have made it this far, Gina, or something like that. Yeah.
I think it's real. I'll still laugh at it. No, but not only did I have the thought, but I remember on Thursday flying back from Nashville in the airport, there was an abnormal amount of people flying with their dog. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, when did this become a thing? Like, leave your dog at home when you travel.
That's what I'm telling you right now. If we could travel with our dog, Ashley would take our dogs everywhere.
Y'all would be the people I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm well aware.
People are getting off the plane and like they're all excited. Like they got their dog and everyone's looking at me because I have a dog. And I'm like, we're in public. We are in public. But I know that's what calls a dream. But anyways, it was just funny because everyone's like, it was like the same day, like an email went out, like bring your dog to church day or something. Because I remember it was like
you just watched the Mark Driscoll video and everyone was booing him.
No. But like one guy had like a literal Great Dane. And I was like, really? It's one thing to bring like a Chihuahua, but he brought his Great Dane. I'm like, where are you going to put him? In the seat next to you? You know, like this makes no sense. And everyone was getting mad at me and I was getting more mad that I was one being made to be the unreasonable one when you brought a Great Dane to
church.
How
you feel about that? Yeah. This is your fault.
Yeah, but it was wild.
Interesting.
But I don't know where we were. It was like this weird outdoor transformation church. Dogs everywhere. And like I was at Bagelheads the other day, and this girl had, you seen those book bags with the clear thing that people have their cat in? It looks like it's a, the cat looked like he was dying in there. It's 1,000 degrees. And the girl's just carrying it around with her cat in this bubble backpack.
No, thank
you. I was like, do you think the cat wants to be in there?
The cat would much rather be at home.
Leave him home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially knowing how cats are.
Dude, yeah.
You know, he don't want to go. He want to be with you.
Let me out of here. Yeah. Yeah. He probably doesn't even want to live with you. He just has to. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just was like, well, I don't know what's going on.
That's wild.
That's wild.
That's wild. Well, you got to be careful talking about cats. But, yeah, so.
Anyway, that was my dream. It was weird. Great dream. It was wild.
Great dream. Good for you.
Everybody's just coming in. Imagine on a Sunday and all the people walking in the doors and half of them have, like, leashes and dogs. That's what the dream. And I'll sit there like, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's dog day.
Ashley would want to be the campus
pastor.
Watch us
get emails. Yeah. Like, that sounds like a great idea. We should bring your dog to church day.
It's not going to happen.
No, remember, it shouldn't happen. They're dogs.
Remember the idea I had like 7 years ago?
No.
Well, not about doing the dog Easter egg hunt?
No.
Do you remember that? No. It was on DeSoto?
No. Like, what do you mean the dog Easter egg hunt?
I was like, do like an Easter egg hunt, but for dogs. You don't remember me talking about that?
Vaguely. It
would never became like a solidified idea. It was like a, you know, it'd be funny. And we were like talking, and I was like, I bet you thousands of people would show up.
It sounds so stupid, but people that are into their dogs.
Thousands of people would show up.
Can you imagine how many fights would break out between dogs?
That was the reason we didn't do it.
Yeah.
I literally talked to my wife. I was like, we might be onto something here. We can get like, you know, and she was like, how are you going to stop dog fights? And I was like, ooh.
We let them.
Yeah. Whoever wins, wins.
Whoever wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
this round.
I bring mine, but they'd be fighting all of them.
I just don't get it. Y'all know me.
Yeah,
I like dogs. This is nothing. I had a dog as a kid, and he never left the house. It's actually a she. We brought her home as a puppy, and she was there till she died. You know why? Because she's a dog.
Yeah. I'm sure someone took her on walks down the block or something.
Well, we had 5 acres and like the woods. That's like, different. She would run in the woods, but like she wasn't like, we weren't taking her in public.
You definitely weren't flying with her.
No.
God, no. We weren't taking her to a restaurant either. None of that.
None of that.
It's a dog.
Yeah.
And it was an outside dog. We didn't have a dog in our house though.
So even during the storms?
What storms?
Like a hurricane.
Any like a hurricane.
Hurricane Aaron.
Hurricanes, we bring them in the garage.
Okay.
But not in the house, still, even with that, no.
Yeah, moms wasn't having that.
No. No, no, no.
Yeah, I can see your mom be like,
no, it's a filthy dog.
Yeah.
Because you know why? What? It's a filthy dog. What do your dogs do when they run outside? They roll around. And what's funny is when you have kids, when your kids are little, and they go outside and they play, and they roll around in dirt, that's all fine and good. You bring them in, and what do, though? They take a
shower
bath
them off, yeah.
You ain't giving that dog a bath. And that dog's going to jump up in like the human bed or the couch with all that dirty stuff? I don't think so. That's filth. That's what I call
filth. And nobody wants to live in
filth. Is that going to be in a chapter in your book?
Yeah. It should be.
It should be.
That's filth. And I don't want to live in filth. If you do.
Yeah. You're going to write. You should write a book.
A third one?
Yeah, a third book. So this is the
series?
The non-pet owner's guide to pet ownership.
Yeah.
And the first page, you open it and it says, don't do it, right in the middle of the page. And that's the end.
Yeah. But, hey, that's me. Now, here's the thing, though. If you're one of those people that has, like, a poodle, like a full-on inside dog that barely goes outside, that's a little different. Because it's not as filthy because it's inside. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's very logical.
Yeah, that's like my dogs. They're not outside. Well, they are outside a little bit. But.
Yeah, but you have, like, a dog. Yes. Dogs like that want to roll around.
Pit bulls, yes. Yeah.
You know, that's their nature.
Yeah, they want to play.
They want to play. And you know, you can't take that from them. That's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, you should let them play. But what they should not expect is to come back into my human house and get all on my human furniture after being a dog and playing. You know what I'm saying?
I would love to disagree with you, but there's muddy paw prints on my couch right now. Not muddy, but like... dirt, like you can,
yeah.
One of them came flying in with dirty paws and jumped on my couch, and now they're,
Of course. Someone put a video the other day on someone, I don't know who it was, someone I'm friends with on Facebook, and it was like a lab, like a cool dog. Like labs are cool dogs. I guess it was their neighbors or something that lives inside, but she took it with her family to like the creek.
Oh, gosh.
And the dog was, like, having a ball all in the creek and the mud and the thing, the whole thing. And she was like, I think the dog would like the farm country life or the creek life or something. I was like, yeah, because it's an animal. It's a dog. That's what they want, you know?
Put it in.
So that's how I feel.
Make it a book.
And that's why I don't have an animal now, because I don't have enough outdoor space. It would have to be inside.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we bought the house we bought, because it has
a big yard. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
well,
that's my.
We've solved a lot of the world's problems today. Yeah. Well, it's because the Power 100, Mr. Power 100, podcast.
91. 91.
Yeah. Well,
what's next year I'll fall off the list.
Special teams. We preached a message on. preached a message on Sunday. It was good.
How'd we
do
it?
The message recap.
How'd they do it?
How'd they do it for the series? How'd they do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was Anthony and Lexi.
Yep. Lexi's story. Yep. The message is called God, What Are You Doing?
God, what are you doing?
What are you doing? We've all been there.
Every day.
If you want to hear a message about it.
I like the series with the videos. I think it's cool. I do too.
Yep. We got some live
stuff. I didn't recognize you, though, in that picture.
Yeah.
Not at all. Like pre-beard.
Oh, that's old pre-beard. Brad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's skating rink Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you recognize
him. Sure was.
So.
He had a pre-beard, goatee, baggy pants.
Was those JUCO pants?
Those were polo pants.
Polo pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember I said it in the picture. Yeah. I said, look at them jeans. The cargo. You had the cargo.
The cargo tab.
Well, not the cargo pocket, but the hoop.
The hammer goes.
Yeah, the hammer. Yeah, because all construction workers are wearing U.S. Polo or Ralph Lauren jeans or whatever. Yeah. But, it was pretty sure I was wearing flip-flops. That was the baggy jeans, flip-flops.
Wow.
DC or Volcom shirt era. So.
You probably just cut your hair one number, one guard.
Yeah. That's what it looked like.
If I even did that, it may have been like, it was longer.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But it was, those were the
back
days,
in the
man.
Day, man. Back in the day. We don't want to see our pictures from back in the day.
Yeah, no, that was the Tringas era. That was 2010, right? 2010. February 2010.
Wow.
Mm. Yep.
From high school?
God, Kyle said this when he graduated. With that said, no, yeah. 5 years after you graduated. Feels like way longer.
2010. I remember that. It was a good time back then. That we were just starting to ignite.
2010. We were there for a lot of those.
We all were.
Yeah.
Into like 11 and 12, yeah.
But, crazy.
It's been fun.
It's been real.
Go watch the message or listen on the podcast, but you can watch it on YouTube. Get a feel for the story with the videos.
Sure enough.
This week is another one coming up.
This week won't be a video. It'll be live stories.
Oh.
Yep. So, yeah. So it'll be good.
Ooh. Don't want to miss it. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
We got something special in store.
Special in store.
So come on out. It's going to be a good time. Well, Justin,
right here.
Tell them about us.
You can find us more about us online, transformationchurch.com or at Transformation Pensacola on all of the socials, including YouTube. Go like, subscribe, share.
All the stuff.
What all the YouTubers say. Click the bell, all that stuff.
Do those things.
Tag us, share us, whatever. Yeah.
Yep. So, awesome. Yep. All right, guys. Rick, as always.
As always. That was great.
Yep. Kyle. Appreciate you, Justin. Absolutely. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in for this amazing podcast. Yes. We'll catch you guys next week. Well,
no, because we're.
No, you won't.
Out of town.
We'll be out of conference next week. So sorry. You won't get to see us next week, but you'll see us the week after that.
We're going
to
be growing as another leaders.
We are. We will be. True. Yeah. So catch us next two weeks from now for another week, another sermon, another follow up podcast.
Message recap podcast.
Message recap podcast.
Later.